verses, Ephesians 1, 1 to 14. And it says this.
Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times had reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purposes of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are in God's possession, to the praise of his glory. And so, Paul, as he begins writing this this letter, as I said, there's no issue to address necessarily, and so he goes in by going in depth a bit more into our salvation and the nature of how it is that we can have a right standing with God, how it is that we can be saved. And so he jumps right in and he's telling this church, you know, this is how you have been saved. And it gets summed up later on in the book by saying it's not of yourselves, it's not of works, but it's of God's grace that you've been saved. And here in the first chapter, he goes through and really emphasizes this fact that we are saved because of God's love for us and through Jesus Christ. If you notice, there's a few phrases that were repeated again and again in those opening few verses. In fact, in the first 13 verses, over 10 times, Paul uses the phrase in Christ or in him or in Jesus Christ. And so this emphasis is made that our salvation is in Christ Jesus. It has nothing to do with ourselves. It's in Christ that we are saved. Another commonly repeated thing that happened there again and again, it says, according to his will, his purposes, his love. And so we see that all of this happened because it was God's purpose, it's God's will, and it's God's love that brings us to salvation. And this is maybe more in depth the doctrine or the teaching of we're saved by grace. You know, it's important to kind of delve into it a bit deeply. You know, we love to say and say, I'm saved by grace. But what does that mean? What does that actually look like? You know, I think the more we look into it, and as Paul kind of expounds on it a bit here, the more we come to appreciate it. You know, I'm very thankful that when I asked Rebecca out on our first date that she said yes, you know, and that continued into now being married, coming up on 5 years, which is, you know, time flies, as they say. But, you know, I became even more appreciative of it when I learned more about the circumstances, a bit of the circumstance that I'd been dragging my feet and that three other guys had been asking her out around the same time that I asked her out. And as I learned about that later on, you know, I just became a little more thankful because I realized, wow, I am a lucky guy. It's not what I did because I was the one who dragged my feet, but because she wanted to go with me, she said no to these other guys. And I became very thankful. I think I had to, she told me sometime along the point that she knew she could ask me to make it up in some way, just saying, just so you know. But, you know, I became more appreciative of our relationship, that she had also chosen me, that she had waited for me and been looking for me. And it's the same with God's love, and that's how Paul puts it out here, is that he is the one who initiated the conversation, or not the conversation, the salvation, our salvation. He is the one who made the first move. He says, "Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," in verse 3. He begins to say, praise God. Why? Because in love, he says, in love, he made a way for us to be saved. As Paul writes down about our salvation in these first few verses, he actually brings in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and how they all three work together in our salvation. And this first few verses are kind of broken up by a phrase of praise his glory. In verse 6, it says, to the praise of his glorious grace. And that's talking about God our Father. It starts in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father who has blessed us in Christ. And so it's God who begins our salvation. He initiates it. He's the one from eternity past who decided that he would make a way for us to become adopted through Christ. And then starting in verse 7 all the way through verse 12, it says, in him, talking about Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood. And so it's Jesus who accomplished our salvation. It's his blood, his life, his sacrifice made a way for our sins to be forgiven. And so coming along through verse 12, it says, so that we who are first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. And then finally, in the verses 13 and 14, it talks about that when we believed the gospel of our salvation, when we believed in him, we were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. And so Paul, as he looks at our salvation, he gives glory to God the Father, he gives glory to Jesus Christ, and he gives glory to the Holy Spirit for the work that they do in bringing us into relationship with God. It was God who initiated it. You know, we all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It was God's love that sent Jesus into the world. And then it was Jesus' perfect life of obedience and his prayer where he said, not my will, but your will be done. You see, it's God's will that Paul talks about here. He says that this was purposed in God's will, and Jesus said, I want your will to be done. He looked to the Father and he said, no, your will be done. And he did what was necessary so that we might have redemption, that we might have our sins forgiven. And it's the Holy Spirit who seals it. It says here, he's the guarantee. You see, when you become a Christian, the Bible tells you that you receive God's Holy Spirit. And as well as enabling us to live out the Christian life, it's also the one who preserves us. The perseverance of the saints, the preservation of the saints, that we are guaranteed, our salvation is a sure thing because Jesus accomplished it and the Holy Spirit has sealed it in our lives. This gives freedom to the Christian because we know that our salvation, just like we didn't earn it ourselves, we also don't keep it on ourselves. It's God keeps us. You know, I was reading someone who says, you know, as much as I'm afraid that I would turn away from God, I'm thankful that God's never going to let go of me because he has saved me and he will hold on to me. And so Paul writes down about how all three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, work together in unity to bring us into a relationship with the living God. And this produces praise to God. That's the natural conclusion. We'll get there in a moment, but I think it's important as we've used a few words here in the text that might people's ears might perk up. It talks about that we are chosen, that we are chosen people from before the foundation of the world. And it talks about that we are predestined. And these are two words, especially if you kind of go out and, you know, start Googling about them, you'll find a lot of stuff written about what the Bible says about predestination and about being chosen from before the foundation of the world. And one of the things that people begin asking when they look in that is, well, do we have a choice? Do we have a say in this at all? And one thing I think, first of all, from the text here, is we see that we do. And it's important that when we begin talking about some of these types of teachings in the Bible, that we notice that a single teaching or a single doctrine in the Bible, it doesn't stand in isolation. And when we isolate a teaching in the Bible and only look at it and don't see how it relates to other equally true and equally important teachings of the Bible, we can start to get a bit of a distorted view of that. And here, while it talks about that we are chosen from before the foundation of the world, if you turn your attention to verse 13, as it's talked about how God has always purposed to send Jesus to come and be the one who saves us, and it's because of his love, not because of who we are, he sums it up, or he caps it off by saying, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. And so Paul makes sure in this passage to also include the truth that we as humans have a choice to make. We have free will that God also gave us, and that this plays into it as well. As I read some commentaries on this passage, one of the best ways I heard it explained is that Jesus is God's chosen vessel. You remember, as we read through there, we saw that is always focused on in Christ, in him, in Jesus. He's the main thrust of this passage. And it's in him that salvation is found. And he's the chosen vessel. He's the chosen one. He's the one whom God sent. And from eternity past, God knew he would send his son. And when we place ourselves in Christ, we too are chosen. Because we are in the one whom God chose. That when we are in Christ, we can say that, yes, God chose us. Because God chose to send Jesus. And he gave us the opportunity to hear and believe in his name. And that we are predestined towards something. Namely, to being Christ-like. To living holy lives. And all this is to accomplish a purpose. You see, that's one of the other things that I see here at the intro to Ephesians that will work out through the book of Ephesians, that our salvation is a personal salvation, but it goes beyond simply a personal salvation. If the Bible never teaches that our salvation is only just about us, and you know, and just, well, if my relationship is still restored with God, then I'm okay, and then, I'm okay. I don't have to worry. Although that's true, that's not what it's all about. It's as we are restored to that relationship, and that's primary, that needs to happen first, it's going to result in things. It's going to result, here it says, to the praise of his glory. It's going to result in bringing glory to God, both as our lives begin to look more and more like Christ's life, and the Bible says that that brings glory to God, but it also brings glory to God because in verse 10 here, it talks about that as a plan, that in Christ, God has a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven, and things on earth. And so God, the gospel is greater than a single person, but it's about God restoring and redeeming all things to himself under Christ. And we have a part to play in that. In fact, as we go on looking through the book of Ephesians, we're going to see that it's about having, as our relationship with God is restored, our relationships with each other need to be restored. And as our relationships with others are restored, on a larger scale, more and more reconciliation happens to each other and to Christ. And this is all part of what God brings all things under Christ. And in Ephesians 2:10, it talks about we have work to do. That when we are saved, we have work to do that God has prepared before us to do. And so there are things for Christians to do because of our salvation. And our lives should bring glory to God. You know, as we kind of wrap up this introduction passage, we see that it's all about God and his working. But as we recognize that, it's God who won our salvation, that is through his grace, his love, and it's in Christ, We praise him for this. We give thanks to him for this. I remember about, it was probably about 12 or 13 years ago, I was driving home from UBC when I was a student there. And my phone rang, so I picked it up and answered, because back then, it wasn't illegal to talk on your phone as you drove. So, you know, I was leaving UBC and my phone rang, so I answered it, and it was a friend of mine. I think it was like a Tuesday or Thursday night, and he just said, "Steve, what are you doing tonight?" And I thought, well, it's like a Tuesday night, not much. Why? What's going on? He says, "Well, my uncle works for a pharmaceutical company, and he just gave me box seat tickets to the Canucks, and they have full menu and everything. He's like, if you can get your car down to the stadium, we get to go." And so I went, and there's nothing I had done to receive this, and I said, "Hey, man, what can I do for you?" And he just said, "Just say thank you, right? I just want someone to go at the game. It'd be kind of boring if I was here alone." And I realized all I could do is say thank you. There was nothing I needed to do. We too, the more we understand God's grace in our life, the more we understand his salvation, we just say thank you. We say thank you, God, for who you are. Thank you for what you have done. And so our salvation, which was initiated by God the Father from eternity past, his love sent his son Jesus, who lived that perfect life and died on the cross so that we could be forgiven of our sins. And the Holy Spirit, who seals us as Christians, who enables us to go on living. As we understand this, we say, thank you, God, for who you are and what you've done. And it's all to the praise of his glory. And so I'm someone who says, I want to practice what I preach. And so in closing, I want us to sing a song. And it's going to be "In Christ Alone." And that's the thrust of this passage, was it's in Christ alone that we have been saved. It's not of ourselves. It's God's grace. And so we don't have to worry about being good enough for God, because in Christ, in his chosen vessel, as we enter into that, we too are chosen and we are predestined to become like him, because the work he has done will continue working in our lives. And so I'm just going to close in prayer. I'm going to invite the music team. I'm also going to give thanks for the food. And we'll pray, and then we'll sing. Father, we just thank you for this time that we could just open up your word and look into it. We thank you that it's your grace that has saved us. It's not of ourselves. Help us understand this. Jesus, we give thanks and we praise your name. And we also just say thank you for the food that's been prepared downstairs. Bless it to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.